The Talmud says a whole lot of things happened on the Feast of Pentecost. Does anybody remember any of them?
Seed was shed on all men.
Law was given.
Okay. Law was given at Mount Sinai in the Feast of Pentecost.
Was the temple? The temple was.
Yeah. The Acts. In the book of Acts. The veil was around at Passover. I just love this.
The shofar
was blown. Don't say it. Don't even think it. The Holy Spirit brooded over the face of the waters. On the Feast of Pentecost. The beginning of creation.
Moses, the fire thing with Moses, right?
The bush.
Burning bush happened on the Feast of Pentecost.
Did it really?
Between two or three of us, we can get it.
John the Baptist was wrong.
Where did he pull that out?
Well, I've only talked about it for like 20 years.
He doesn't remember that. He doesn't remember that. He's just guessing.
Well, he knew the law, so he knew the burning bush.
It works for you, Harry.
He's just guessing.
John the Baptist was conceived.
He's just guessing. Watch, he'll do it again. Great evening's over. He'll do it again.
He's the goodly body.
Right.
The Tower of Babel was destroyed on the Feast of Pentecost. Remember? From the Feast of Pentecost forward, man has not been able to communicate with each other. Anybody have any doubts about that? But the big thing that we're going to study tonight that happened on the Feast of Pentecost is the world of cause and effect was destroyed. So therefore, Babylon was destroyed. We don't see it destroyed yet. We think it's everywhere. But Babylon was destroyed on the Feast of Pentecost, and we'll hopefully understand that a whole lot more. It's also called the Feast of Azeret. Anybody remember what Azeret means? Why do I even ask the rhetorical question? The book of Ruth is read, but the one I'm most interested in is what happens to Babylon. So let's go to Revelation 17. And the thing that happens, let's go read it. Go to Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, and the word should be when the Feast of Pentecost was fulfilled, they were all with one accord in one place. And where were they?
At
the column of Boaz in the temple, hiding out. They remember there were 6 million Jews, and they all were deathly afraid. All the disciples were afraid. All 120 that were with him in the upper room were afraid because there was still a price tag on their heads. And so they were, okay, guys, we have to go to the Feast of Pentecost because the Bible says, the law says, if we don't go to that feast, we're cut off from the people. But we'll just blend in. We'll dress so we won't look like we're Galileans, and we'll just sort of go hang out, and we'll meet at the column of Boaz. So you can visualize it. As the Levites were singing Psalm 118, when they got to the point that says, Hosanna, save us now, time opened. And the veil of time was split, and it was above every one of the 120 who had risked their lives to believe in Jesus Christ, who had given up the right to themselves. And when that time veil split, they saw the fire of the cherubim that's guarding the Garden of Eden with the sword that goes every which way. You can read about that in Genesis 4. And they heard the sound of a mighty wind but there was no wind. They saw the fire, but there was no fire. Okay, the wind that they heard was the final threshing floor wind. It was the wind that blows. Remember, the threshing floor had to be in the... That's why Jerusalem was a threshing floor, because it was the highest mountain. And all the winds from the mountains rushed around and they blew away the chaff. What happened on the Feast of Pentecost is the threshing floor wind, God's wind, was blowing, and they heard the sound of the threshing floor wind. And those with understanding knew it. They knew and saw through the veil of time. That's why Peter could speak with such incredible authority, because he'd been touched by eternity. That's why the disciples were able to turn the world upside down, because they saw it was finished. They saw all the value systems of the world were horseshit. They were all that Babylon was doomed, that cause and effect was over, that now they had been translated into the kingdom of the Son of His love. And that was their residence. Nothing has changed. All this horseshit we see is the universe, and the world is just that. And it's only there because God has been waiting for a people that would agree with those people that saw the first Pentecost. It's all been finished. It's the Feast of Cessation. It's over. And now He's only waiting for a number of people. And I don't know what the number is. That's why no man knows the day. But He's waiting for a number to see the fire of eternity, and to hear the sound of the threshing floor. Got it?
Does cessation mean?
Over, end. No, it means finished.
You ceased.
End, over, done. Kaput. And there suddenly came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, but there was no wind. Have any of you ever been spelunkers?
Been in a cave and heard it though.
When you go through and investigate caves, I get into spelunking for a while in Wyoming.
Oh, they weigh down there.
Oh, there's a girl that was lost. So in Wyoming, there's all these little sinkhole things, and that you go through this little hole in the ground, and there's these huge monster caverns that go on forever underground because they've been formed by the dissolving of all the mineral salts, and they're all weirdly shaped. And so you have to get, what we had to do, we had to get these rope ladders, because this one was really deep. It was like 40 feet down, and we had to make the rope ladder. And it was this huge storm outside. And I'll never forget it. We made our way down to that, and there was this, it sounded like the world was coming to an end up above through that little hole. And the sound of the wind, but it was you were at perfect peace in this cave. And that's what this is. It's the sound of the wind of eternity and the fires of eternity, the threshing floor. It's the winds, you know, in fact, I know how fast the wind is. It's 1,000 miles an hour. Because that's the speed that the earth is spinning. Since eternity isn't moving, the threshing floor wind would have to be 1,000 miles an hour. You understand that? So it's the sound of a mighty rushing wind. It's everything else sort of disappearing.
Let's see, a hurricane clocks in at about 150, 160.
That's a big one. This is 1,000. You understand the earth is spinning 1,000 miles an hour. You should think about stuff like that. There suddenly came, and suddenly there came, a sound from heaven. From, you know, again, when it says it's heaven, it's eternity. You understand that? And the sound from eternity, as of a rushing mighty wind, but there was no wind. And the sound filled the house where they were sitting, or the temple where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as fire. of fire, and it sat upon each one of them. What it says, better translation is, it rested upon each one of them. By their minute of obedience, because of their obedience, time ripped. It was the beginning of the end of time. Now, Revelation 10 says, when the mystery of God is completed, and in the better translations it says, when the mystery of the bride is completed, time shall be no more. So this was the beginning of the end of time. That's why throughout the scriptures it says, be not concerned with anything that's time dependent. That's why your speech must be seasoned with salt. Because salt is the component of eternity that's not. And so your speech must. Do you ever notice? I don't do good, too good at small talk. I mean, I'm really rude when people come around me and start their little shit. Do you hear what the Rangers did? I can't imagine anymore anybody coming up to me and talking to me about that stuff.
How about them Cowboys?
Yeah, or huh?
Well, I mean, you don't small talk. It's not even like you don't.
Well, but my point is, the only reason I don't is because I've felt and known the satisfaction of having speech seasoned with salt. And I can't stand that anything else that isn't. But that's your heritage too. And when you begin having your speech seasoned with salt, then wild stuff begins to happen around you. You're no longer dependent on all the horseshit that's going on in every age and in every time and in every location. That's just because you've been transformed. You're in the process of being transfigured by the renewing of your mind. And this isn't because I'm some weirdo. This is simply because I saw eternity. And I saw eternity the moment there was no strange God within me. Exactly the same heritage that's available to you. The moment you say, I'm bored with all this, I don't want to do this anymore, this is all stupid, it's all dumb, it's all finished, it's all vain, it's all vanity of vanities, all is vanity. And you too can see. There's no such thing as special. I mean, there's nothing special about me. Understand that? So why keep those strange gods within you? Why keep praying to them with your thoughts and worshiping and giving breath to them with your, what you think is important, and tithing to them? Why worship and pray to anything that's time dependent? And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. Now it wasn't like these pictures you see where this little piece of fire keeps jumping around. It was the fact that their obedience split and opened the veil of time. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And I promise they didn't keep saying over and over, Sham Baba Da Hamba. They spoke a language. And it had speech patterns. The ancient saints said that anybody that you hear speaking in tongues, that it sounds like babble, it is. Anybody you hear that keeps repeating the same syllables, you know, becomes a mantra. Listen to Tilton. Listen to some of these guys on these television evangelists. All they've got is a mantra that sounds like baby talk. And they were, well, you know the rest of the story. You understand all that happened. Now, what this also did is that this moment, this time was, it's the finish of the Hallel. Remember, they had just sung Psalm 113 to 118, because that's what they had to do. And just a while before this, on the great day of the feast, when the hallel was sung just the last time, they're getting a little afraid of the hallel. Because in the last time they'd sung the hallel, the last time they got to Psalm 118, Christ spoke out of the temple and said, "He that believeth on me, out of his belly shall rush rivers of living water." Now they got to the hollow again. Time ended. One of these days, when we're singing the hollow, boom, it's over. It's finished. It's done. Now, I want anybody now to let their mind tell them a problem they have. When your mind is centered on eternity, problems are idiotic. Can you hear that? And either this is true or I'm the craziest fucker you've ever met in your life. Both may be true, but either our function in time and space is to end time and space, or we're just, you know, we're just like the rest of these idiots. We're trying to improve. Oh, let's improve things. Oh, we're going to go improve. Flesh. This was the end of all flesh. Revelation 17 now.
What do you mean it was the end of all flesh?
All of it was the end of the human race. The human race died at Pentecost. All that was transformed into a bunch of little vases. So if you just have to be a bunch of vases that can think. Oh, look at me, I'm going to do something. It's a bunch of little vases with legs. Oh, look at me, I'm going to go discover an oil well. Oh, look at me. I'm going to do something really important. I'm not sure what it is yet, though. Aww. I love vases. The vanity of vases. Doesn't make any difference what you do. It's who you contain. Oh. I'm going to go change the world. Oh, I know. I'm going to raise some really perfect other little vases. And there came one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, "Come here." First he had to hear. Then he had to see. You'll never see what you don't hear. It's the way your being works. "Come here, and I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication." In the Greek, the word kings doesn't mean kings, it just means all the principals or all the leaders of the earth. "And all the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. Her wine is always the wine of Ephraim, or the wine of self-seeking. And you become drunk with your own thought processes of what you're going to do, how you're going to do it. You become drunk with self-seeking. And from a spiritual man's look at it, you roll to and fro just like a drunk man walking. And you forget the stupidness of it. And so you put blinders on and you say, yeah, everything else went right down the tubes and nothing else I've ever done it." Remember, insanity is defined by some as the continual repetition of a pattern, expecting different results. Understand me?
Like a human condition.
Yeah. And the whore of Babylon, the leader of the, there's only the bride and the whore left. The whore of Babylon, her power is based on what she can do for you. Salvation of the isolated self. Doesn't matter if she's in Jesus' name or in Harry's name. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast full of the names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. And we just studied that beast, right? If you could see, you got a woman sitting on your head. And you're worshiping that woman. Every time you leave eternity, you're worshiping that woman. You think it's yourself. You think you are doing something. Remember the seven heads and the ten horns? That's the Sanhedrin. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. Now, you may not believe this, but someday you will know it. That the worship, you worship the whore when you believe in cause and effect. That if you do this, this will happen. That's the basis upon which the entire world has committed fornication with her. Because cause and effect is the direct enemy of grace. Can you hear that? And why will you do? Why will you go back and worship cause and effect tomorrow? And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints. You ever know what happens to you if you speak against someone's great plan, the thing that they become drunk with? One time I was in Hot Springs with Harry. And Harry had had a little too much to drink. Harry had a lot too much to drink. Bloom was there. Harry and Bloom had visited every titty bar in Hot Springs. And Harry had his credit card Cadillac. He was broke out of his, but he had great pleasure in buying me lunch on his credit card. Bloom was just about in the same shape. I mean, both of them were. I mean, we're talking bad news. This is not too far after they were going to take my niece to the $1 million saloon. This is 84, 85, something like that. So anyway, Harry becomes Harry when he's drunk. I mean, you've never seen anybody like Harry when he's drunk. I'll tell you one goddamn thing. I know how to solve this. So anyway, but the imagery of this is that Harry was going to drive. And I'd taken away his keys. And he was going to fight me unto death to get the keys to his car back. Nothing made any sense. You could talk to him forever. You couldn't talk him out of, give me my goddamn keys, Ollie. I'm not afraid he is.
It's my goddamn car.
Anyway,
that's true.
That's the picture of what the way the world is when they're drunk on self-seeking. You ever been to a political convention? They are convinced. Every year they've had the same damn convention, and every year they have this huge excitement about this new thing that's going to solve the problems. Nothing they've ever done solved any problems, but this year everybody, and it is, I mean, it's just crazy. It's like going to a Zig Ziglar seminar. No, you'll kill somebody to justify being drunk on your wine. Do you understand that? And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. Doesn't mean he liked her. And the angel said unto me, wherefore didst thou marvel? And I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carrieth her, which hath the seven heads and 10 horns. The beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. And here is the mind which hath the wisdom. The seven heads are 7 mountains upon which the woman sitteth. And there are 7 kings, 5 are fallen, and 1 is, and the other is not yet come. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space. And the beast that was and is not, even he is the 8th, and is of the 7, and goeth into perdition. And the 10 horns, we'll go through that point by point when we get to this in Revelation, but I don't want to get there tonight. And the beast that was and is not, and even he is the 8th, and is of the 7, and goeth into perdition. And the 10 horns which thou sawest are 10 kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kingdoms 1 hour with the beast.
Power as kings.
Huh? Power as kings 1 hour with the beast. These have one mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. They shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings. And they that are with him are called, chosen, and faithful. And he saith unto me, the waters which thou sawest where the whore sitteth are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. And the 10 horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. For God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will, and to agree and give their kingdom unto the beast until the words of God shall be fulfilled. And the woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. Now that's the fall, that's the prediction of what is now going to happen in chapter 18. And this is what happened eternally on the Feast of Pentecost. And after these things I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. In chapter 18, verse 2, Babylon has fallen on Pentecost in this one day. When we can say this, just as this angel was radiant, then our earth becomes radiant. Our being becomes different, because we no longer need the light of anything. We no longer need the sustenance of anything. Understand that? And cried with a mighty strong voice, saying, Babylon the great has fallen, has become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornications with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. The only way that merchants become rich is by cause and effect. If I do this for you, you will give me that. If I make this effort, then this will happen. I mean, everything in the universe, everything in our world is based on cause and effect. Can you see for just a moment that even the religious system, if you accept Jesus as your personal savior, is cause and effect? That's why it says nowhere, nowhere in the scriptures does it say to accept Jesus as your personal savior. That's become a trick of the whore. Have you made a decision for Christ? Nowhere in the scriptures does it say to make a decision for Christ. If you have enough strength to make a decision for Christ, you will choose the Antichrist, the instead of Christ. Is that clear? Understand? And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, and that you receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her double according to her works. And in the cup which she hath filled, fill to her double. How much hath she glorified herself, and how much has her children glorified herself themselves? Do you understand? Self for self, self-glory, self-seeking, self. How much hath she glorified herself and lived? And people live in this illusion that they are doing it individually. Don't you understand? It's just the whore doing her thing through her people. And they shall speak well of you when you do well unto yourself. That's what the psalmist said. How much hath she glorified herself and lived deliciously or delicately? So much torment and sorrow give her, for she saith in her heart, I sit a queen and am no widow, and shall see no sorrow. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, Pentecost. In one day she's dead. And she looks like everything is still going on. The earth is on fire. It's only those with discernment can see the heat and feel the heat. We see this same story repeated in every one of the feasts. Passover is the exodus from the world. Pentecost is the exodus from time. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire. And that fire was started with the tongues of fire of eternity that were seen for the first time on the Feast of Pentecost.
Is that the scripture? Is it Peter that says that you should pull them out of the fire?
Jude, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh.
So if that Acts Pentecost
started fire. The human race lost its purpose on the day of Pentecost. And she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord who judgeth her. And the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her shall bewail of her and lament her when they shall see the smoke of her burning. And that's what happens when you fail. Understand? When you fail, you see the smoke of her burning. Standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, alas, alas, the great city Babylon, the mighty city, for in 1 hour is thy judgment come.
and the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her. Cause and effect doesn't work anymore. Now, again, the world is acting like it's... Do you understand what rust is? We talked about this, right? Understand what oxidation is, what rust is, what fire is? They're all the same thing. They're just in different speeds. You understand the second law of thermodynamics? Nothing in and of itself can repeat it, can reproduce anything greater than itself. The law of entropy, everything is denigrating. The denigration is the fire. Do you understand that? Because I can't see. It doesn't look like everything's on fire.
You go look at those big old oil fields outside of Corsicana and outside of Kilgore. Well, it used to be these, the center of the world was in these oil fields. And you go out there now and you just see these hunks of wood in all different directions and these big metal tanks falling in on themselves, just rusting away. It's just, if you could take time out of it, you could just see the whole thing just fall in.
A long time ago, I saw this. All of you have probably seen it. If you've ever seen it, you'll know what I'm talking about. It shows an animal dying.
Yeah.
And time is speeded up, and it shows it's alive, then it's dead, and then it boom, and then it's the maggots come from somewhere and
come out of the back and go.
And a fly lens on it lays
the same. Yeah, it's just unbelievable. It just disintegrates right in front of you. Any of you ever seen that?
Yep.
Yeah.
I think you're
And the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise anymore. The merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones and of pearls and fine linens and purple and silk and scarlet and all fine wood and all manner vessels of ivory and all manner vessels of most precious wood and of brass and of iron and of marble. And cinnamon and odors and ointments and frankincense and wine and oil and fine flour and wheat and beasts and sheep and horses and chariots and slaves and the souls of men. It repeats all that stuff and then it says the souls of men. Because that's all it is. That's what modern religion is. It's the merchandising of the souls of men. And it's like these great organizations, they talk evangelically about how many converts. Praise God, we have 20,000 converts. They didn't tell you that 21,000 leave.
But if you read this, the thing is, though, that it says, for no man buyeth their merchandise anymore, meaning the souls of men. It's a foregone conclusion that the merchandise, part of the merchandise, was the souls of men.
Yeah, I mean, it was all the same.
Yeah.
And the fruits of that thy soul lusted after are departed from thee, and all things which were pooky and goodly are departed from thee. And godly are departed and goodly are departed from thee, and thou shalt find them no more at all. The merchants of these things which were made rich by her shall stand afar off for the fear of her torment, weeping and wailing and saying, alas, alas, the great city that was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls. For in 1 hour so great riches is come to naught, and every shipmaster and all the company and ships and sailors and many as trade by sea stood afar off and cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, what city is like unto this great city? Do you understand the word city here means totally different than the word city now?
Well, the 120 on Pentecost was a city.
Right. A city doesn't mean... It means something totally different. A city almost means like a tribe, or a
belief system.
Huh?
Isn't it almost like a belief system?
Yeah.
Sort of like in Rollerball, you know, where they had the city states.
I don't know about that.
Rollerball, yeah. Right.
and cried when they saw the smoke of a burning, saying, What city is like unto this great city? And they cast dust on their heads and cried, weeping and wailing, saying, Alas, alas, that great city wherein we're made rich. Do you know what some of these jokers are doing now? They're sending you a plea. We get these files of what evangelists are doing. They're sending cut out pieces of colored burlap bags, and they're saying it's sackcloth. And they're saying, just as so-and-so in the Bible, use sackcloth. What I want you to do is put it in your wallet, in your hair, and on your head, and on your heart, and on your dick, and wherever else you need help.
That is just spooky.
Cure all. That's our preacher, all right?
You ain't never going to be on PTO. Never.
And you're going to make sure I don't.
I got sick, but I thought you were going to be.
Anyway, do you understand what sackcloth is? Sackcloth is made from the hair of the sacrificial animals. And when you put on sackcloth, it's your agreement that your fate is that you are dead. But they made sackcloth. They said some Baptist preacher 30, 40 years ago said sackcloth. No, sackcloth is burlap bags. Because it's in sack and it's cloth, so it's a sackcloth. You put ashes on your head because you deserve to be burned. It's only those that know they deserve to die and they deserve to be burned that are ever saved. But here they put dust on their heads. And they that cast dust on their heads and cried, weeping and wailing, saying, Alas, alas, that great city wherein we are made rich, all that had ships in the sea by reason of her costliness, I could say that. For in 1 hour is she made desolate. That 1 hour she was made desolate was in Pentecost.
Well, it didn't look like that to me.
Can't see eternity either. Unless, you know, because you're...
The human bullet coming at you either.
Rejoice over her, thou heaven, and ye holy apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged you on her. And a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and cast it into the sea, saying, Thus with violence shall that great city be thrown down and shall be found no more at all. Do you understand? You got to hear this. Remember what I said? If you hear it, you see it. If you see it, it happens. I mean, what do you see when you look around? Do you see the world is on fire? Or do you keep trying to improve it, or trying to rob it, or trying to get stuff from it, or try to get sustenance from it? That's what I meant. What?
I go around to all these small towns out in oil field land. All these towns are just dying. There's just buildings falling down. Everywhere. There's not anything going well.
It's like they're waiting on it. I'm sitting there waiting on it.
It's like that. The drive to Omaha. It's just nothing.
Oh,
farms. Just.
Oh, God.
Weeds.
You want to get depressed.
Dilapidated buildings.
It looks like the surface of the moon. Awful.
You know what happened to me today? I was driving back over here and passed the guy from the Radio Shack. And, I mean, it just hit me just square and just right teeth that, you know how. It was somebody else I had in a box. Just didn't seem worth it at all.
You understand? That's, I'm glad you said that. If you have anybody in prison, if you have anybody you haven't forgiven completely from the heart, then by definition, you cannot see what I'm talking about. You can only see cause and effect. You can only see merchants. You can only see merchandising. So that's why, unless you forgive from the heart everyone, God can't forgive you. And if he can't forgive you, then he won't let you see what's right in front of you. So who do you have in prison? Remember.
All this stuff just makes clear what you said. There's only the bride and the whore left. She did the stuff, the whore.
Amen. The mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone, cast it into the sea, saying, thus with violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down and shall be found no more at all. And the voice of the harp, this is the saddest two verses in Scripture, three verses. And the voice of the harpers and musicians and of pipers and of trumpeters shall be heard no more at all in thee. No craftsman of whatsoever craft he be shall be found any more in thee. The sound of a millstone shall be heard no more at all in thee. The light of a candle shall shine no more at all in thee. And the voice of the bridegroom and of the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee. For thy merchants were the great men of the earth, for by thy sorceries were all nations deceived. And in her was found the blood of the prophets and of saints and of all that were slain upon the earth. You understand, it's not just the blood of the prophets and the saints, but it's the blood of all that were slain upon the earth, because all murders have to come from lust. And all lust has to come from cause and effect. And then when all that is seen, and only when all that is seen, and verse 19:1, and after these things I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments, for he hath judged the great whore which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And again they said, hallelujah, and her smoke rose up forever and ever. Amen. Can anybody see a little bit?
Did you say that you believe that Abel is the first member of the bride? Yeah, you said.
Right? Yep.
So would it follow that Cain is the first member of
the whore?
The father of murder.
Go to Jude. Jude. It's right before Revelation. I want to read the whole of Jude. This is just for several of your benefit. Jude is a pretty rough book. Makes you think a little bit. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and the brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Christ, in Jesus Christ, and called, mercy unto you, and peace and love be multiplied. We've talked in the morning Bible study that almost all of the books of the New Testament are the letters. They start out by talking about peace and grace be unto you. I mean, it's because if you don't understand peace and grace, then the rest of the, you can't understand the Bible.
Is it like shorthand for the Shema?
Yeah, that's good. Mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise, these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." But these speak evil of things which they know not, but what they know naturally as brute beasts by the senses, and these things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them, for they have gone greedily after the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. These are spots in your feast of charity, what it says, spots in your agape feast. When they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear, clouds they are without water, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit withereth without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots, raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. This is the second least studied book in the Bible. First least studied is Leviticus, second least studied is Jude. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, "Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of their ungodly deeds, which they ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him." What do you think ungodly means?
About God.
Bingo.
Not seeing
the same thing that God sees. Ungodly committed in all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's person in admiration because of advantage, or in order to gain advantage. But, beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly desires. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. But you, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keeping yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And if some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Pulling them out of the fire. Now, the reason we read Jude is because it talks about the gainsaying of Korah. Well, the scriptures about the gainsaying of Korah are read on the Feast of Pentecost. I'm not sure why, but... No, I'm just kidding, I know why. Anybody remember what the gainsaying of Korah was?
Yeah, what's so special about you? We're Israelites too. we can speak the truth just like you can speak the truth. How come you say God only speaks through you? We don't have to listen to you. We can do what we want. Here's what we're going to do. And then the earth opened up and swallowed 23,000 of them or something.
I don't feel like Tucker anymore. Can we clearly?
Yeah.
I'm dizzier now. I'm dizzier and a drunk enough for hot springs.
Those things. The first time this morning we were talking, the two of us could see not just the idolatry, but the craziness and thinking that you have something coming, even food and shelter. We just assume that we have the right to at least that. And at least a few other little things like a car, and at least a couple of hours of tennis. But the first time, we didn't have a right to the house and food.
You weren't there Sunday night, were you? I talked about the Christians in Rwanda.
I don't think it was.
And there's probably something in order of maybe as many as a million, but somewhere between 200,000 and a million people that have been just hacked to death and under the most horrible, horrible ways for just because of their tribal affiliation. And many of them were Christians. I mean, I suffer for all of them, but what I was saying is how we trivialize their suffering by our complaining and murmuring and our greed. I mean, here are people who are dying because this what they this in the Christianity Today. There's this article, it just destroyed me, about this one. There's two tribes, the Hutu or the, I can't remember the names of the tribes. Anyway, the Titsu and the Hutu, I think, are the two names of them. But the Hutu is the dominance, 80% or 90%, and the other one, the Titsu, are just 10%. And the one guy was of the dominant tribe, but he was a Christian. He was a pastor. And so when the palace guards are the main ones that are killing everybody because their king was assassinated, and he came up to him and he wouldn't say that he was a member of the tribe. All he had to say was he was a member of their tribe and he was safe. But he said, "No, I'm neither. I'm a Christian." And they hacked him to pieces in front of, you know, everybody, and all the children that say they're a Christian are just hacked to pieces. And it's, you know, when we complain, we trivialize the suffering of our brothers and sisters in Christ throughout history and throughout all of time and space. And we don't, I mean, we just, it's just stupid. I mean, when we believe we have rights to things, and we've lost the mystery of Christ. You know, as I said, I said Sunday night, we may very soon be in the worst economic disaster of history. I mean, there may be 20 or 30 of us living in a house. Nobody has any jobs. But it doesn't matter. I mean, we're already living but get rid of all of the illusions of life. We're not part of this world. This is not our domain. This is not our home. Amen? Okay, take a big guy.